This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel blessed trails, yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails, blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. We're going to get to know today's guest together, but one thing I do know, I absolutely love their music. So let's kick off this show with their version of Paul Overstreet's I Won't Take Less Than Your Love.
How much do I owe you? Said the husband to his wife, for standing here beside me through the hard years of my life. And shall I bring you diamonds? And shall I buy you furs? Just say the word and it is yours. And his wife said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the riches of this world can never be enough. No, I won't take less than your love.
How much do I owe you? To the mother said the son. All that you have taught me in the days when I was young. Shall I bring expensive blankets to cast upon your bed, and a pillow for to rest your weary head? And the mother said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the comforts of this world could never be enough. No, I won't take less than your love.
The man to his Lord, for giving me this day and all the days that's gone before. Shall I build a temple? Shall I make a sacrifice? sacrifice. Tell me, Lord, and I'll pay the price. And the Lord said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of this world never mean enough, and I won't take less than your love.
I love that. Oh my gosh. What a wonderful couple. When Gary first began, we began this show, he mentioned this couple to me as potential guests. And at that point, I was just still trying to figure out radio and get this all figured out and filed it away in my little brain. And I wasn't even sure what the show was going to look like or sound like, but God did. And then Gary sent me some of their music to use on one of my shows with a non-musical guest, and I was just enthralled. I could hardly wait to get them on the show. I am so eager to get to know them better, and I am delighted to welcome to the show Mike and Doris Merritt. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Right,
thank you.
You so much.
Oh, thank you. This is going to be fun. Three-way talking here. This is going to be interesting. But we'll figure it out. We'll just step on each other a little bit, huh?
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm curious as to how you all came to connect with Gary, because he definitely is your connection to me. So how did you come to know Gary? And we are speaking of Gary Holt, of course, our producer. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. Mike, I'll start out, and then you can jump in there. Michael Martin Murphy is a good friend of ours, and through his publicist, Lance Cowan, was how we came to get in touch with Gary. And what's wild, Belinda, is that Gary and I know so many folks in Nashville, because Nashville's my home. And so we had a good reunion when we visited, because we do lots of things and have lots of the same interests. Tennessee Walking Horses, I grew up riding Tennessee Walking Horses. But that's how our connection came about, is through Michael, and then through Lance, and then Gary, and then, like I said, we had so many neat things because we're both Nashvillians and had lots of connections from Tennessee there. So, and he was so gracious and so kind to put us on his show, and it was wonderful. It was so fun. And then now we get to visit with you.
I know. How fun is that? Yeah, I mean, seriously, it was sort of a it was definitely a God thing right from the beginning, because I remember when I first started talking to him about this, and I approached him about, you know, what would be involved. I wasn't even thinking about his network. I was thinking about what his network is housed on. Would that be something I would want to pursue? And he's like, well, why don't you just put your show on my network? And he said, and I just got this great CD in the mail from these wonderful people doing this great gospel music. And then now you're saying you want to do a gospel show. This is just God telling us we need to do this show. So you all were all part of that little beginning thing that happened, and you didn't even know it. So cool the way God works that out. Don't you love it?
Love it.
It is wonderful. Now, and you all, we'll talk about your ministry in depth on another show. We definitely will touch on it on this show, but I really would just love to take this show to get to know you better individually and then as a couple, and then we'll just kind of end up with kind of getting into your ministry a little bit towards the end of the show. And because as we were talking and pre-show conversations, and you sent me your bios and what's going on with you all, there's just so much there. There's so much. We cannot possibly do that in one show. And so definitely we're going to have you all back on so we can explore a little bit more. But I would like you just to tell the folks a little bit about what your ministry consists of, just like a little Reader's Digest version of what you all do in your ministry.
Mike, go
Who
ahead.
Who wants it?
Okay. Got to hit the shift key, wake me up, okay? We do appreciate you letting us be on your show. And our ministry is we reach out to the cowboy culture, the Western culture. We travel, when we get opportunities to gatherings. We really love being around Red Steagall in Fort Worth, and of course with Michael, we go to sale barns, rodeos. We get to do some things at the PRCA rodeo here in Hugo occasionally, and we have those events at our church, arena events, horse events, and we'll travel anywhere just to talk about the Lord and to use the gifts that He's equipped us to use. So we're ready to go when we get an opportunity to give a different.
Go ahead.
Hopefully it's a little bit different. We want to be who we are and let the Lord use us.
Well, I love that. I just think it's so awesome, and it's so Christ-like to meet people where they are. And to me, the Cowboy Church and this whole movement with Cowboy Churches is meeting people where they are and to just bring the Lord to them instead of saying you have to come here and you have to come here and you have to dress like this or whatever. And so it just is that freedom to just worship the Lord where you are and what's most comfortable for you, because that's what Christ did. It really is. I'm so admire what you all are doing, and that really kind of takes us right into this next song that we're pulling these off of your new album, which I'm really excited about, and I just love the whole album, and this is one of my favorites, and I love your treatment of it, and it's called The Place Where I Worship.
Thank you.
Yeah.
my husband and I love to dance, Doris, and I could just see us dancing across, just dancing to God's music.
Yes, that's a great one to dance to. It sure
it
is.
Would be, it is wonderful. Well, we're going to kind of focus on you here on this little segment, Doris, and find out a little bit more about you. Ladies first. So you were born in Nashville, right? In
Nashville, and grew up in a very traditional Southern Baptist home. My grandparents were very involved. He was chairman of the deacons and at one of the largest churches in Nashville, and I think half of the Baptist General Convention went to our church. So I was very inundated. So I was raised in a Christian home, but I grew up riding Tennessee walking horses, which Gary and I had that in common, you know, as far as our love for those horses. And I always sang. Horses and music were my love. And I worked at Opryland my senior year in high school, and then started doing studio work in Nashville. I worked at Opryland several years. We call that boot camp for entertainers. I don't know if you've ever heard
that
before, but
no, but I can relate to that. Yes, yeah, I can see that.
And a lot of country music entertainers came out of Opryland. There were quite a few that did, and so that was real neat. In fact, all the started doing the studio work, and then had the opportunity to put the 4-girl group together called Girls Next Door in the 80s. And that was just a wonderful part of my life, you know, that I had the opportunity to do those, to travel and sing and be in the country music industry, and with 4 other women that were Christians, but we were in the country market. So that was different for ladies. But then that time ended, and we started our families, and that was another chapter closed, and we started that. And then I ended up in Oklahoma after some life-changing things, and that's how I met Mike, and our lives came together, and we started, and it was just funny because we had both had some things going on in our lives that were devastating to us. But you know what, God brings people together and heals them up and just puts you together, and we just think God brought us together for those reasons, and got involved with cowboy churches, starting cowboy churches. And I know Mike will tell you a lot about that, because that was his passion, because that was his lifestyle, and he has such a passion for those folks. And I got to join that ride, and in fact, now we have our own church in Hugo, Oklahoma, and that's how our ministry evolved with that, when we just had the passion for those folks, and we wanted to give them some music that when we do have the opportunity to go minister in different places, that our music would appeal to those folks, you know, with a very positive message. So that's a quick nutshell of...
I mean to tell you, you're a good girl. Well, I'm curious, a question I love to ask people, because I think it really was for me, and I think for most everyone I've talked to, you know, especially when you're raised in church, you have an awareness of the Lord, and you have, you know, a trust and a belief in the Lord, but that's different than that really personal relationship, that aha moment when you realize how intimately the Lord knows us and wants to be there for us and wants to be with us. He's not just this big somebody up in the sky that, you know, if you do bad, you're going to get in trouble kind of thing. And so do you remember, did you ever have one of those kind of moments, or, you know, do you remember anything like that?
Well, Belinda, I mean, it is so awesome that you said it, because I did. I was a good girl. You know, it was one of those things, it was just like the perfect little life, you know. And then I'll tell you, when God became so real and his grace and his forgiveness and his love became so powerful in my life, is when my life just fell upside down, you know. And that's when I just really realized, you know what, God can't, because I felt like I could not minister, I couldn't serve, I was no longer any good, because that's kind of the way I was raised, you know. You know, you're supposed to just walk this straight and narrow line, and you better not get off of it, you know. And I failed, you know. But you know what, that when I hit rock bottom and had to look up and realize that, you know what, God loves me no matter what, and his grace is sufficient to pick me up and wrap his arms around me and put me in a place where he can use me. And that's what was just so overwhelming and so humbling. And it made me realize, too, I'd missed a lot you know, from the standpoint of that's where I like when we had Mike and I have such a passion for the ministry that we're doing is because there's a lot of folks, there's so many people out there that feel that they feel so unworthy. Their lives have not been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not
mm-hmm.
fit in a wonderful, beautiful, traditional Baptist church or whatever type of church or denomination or whatever it is. They just don't feel worthy of that. But you know what? That's so untrue. And God has shown us that, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that we need to get that message to because he did that for us. He did that for me. He showed me his grace and his love and his forgiveness, and he can take me and put me wherever he wants to put me and use me. And that is just so awesome. And I want people to know that, you know, no matter what you've
Absolutely.
Done, no matter where you've been, he's going to
mm-hmm.
love us and put us back on that right, put us back on that trail, you know.
He will. And you know what's a really important point that I've got out of what you have just said is I think people, you know, they understand that when they first come to the Lord, that the Lord, you know, forgives their sins and washes them white as snow, and you have this wonderful, incredible, new, fresh start with your life. You can, okay, you understand that I didn't know any better. I messed up and the Lord forgave me. But when you stumble and fall as a Christian and you make bad
mm-hmm.
decisions and you go down the wrong path, that is when the enemy just takes this big old 2x4 and beats you over the head that you are no longer worthy. You know, you had your chance,
yes.
you blew it. Now you are unusable. You are not, you.
Mm-hmm.
God cannot, you are useless to the Lord now because you screwed up. And that is such a powerful message to give to people, that no matter how many times you stumble, no matter how many times you fall down and just totally screw up, that God is just waiting for you to reach your hand back up so he can pick you up and dust you off, clean you up, and get you back on that path again. So that is
that's
so,
oh.
so true. That is wonderful.
It is.
That is wonderful.
And he's separated, you know, another thing, the guilt that we put on ourselves, too, is another thing that we still carry that, you know. And that's one thing, you know, Jesus has forgotten that. He has separated that as far as the east is from the west. And that's something, too, I just want to share with people. Y'all, he doesn't remember that anymore. The world
mm-hmm.
remembers it, and we're going to be reminded, but we've got to overcome that and say, you know what, my Father is stronger and more powerful than you. You know, he's going to put us up there, but we've got to remember that, and we've got to grab onto that and just trust him that, you know, that no matter what those people say and remind us of all those bad things that we did, you know, or, you know, whatever, that it doesn't
yep.
matter to God. They're over with.
It doesn't. So. That's when you say, get behind me, Satan.
Exactly.
Satan beating you over the head with guilt. That is not the Lord.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I love that when you were with the girl group, Girls Next Door, that they were all Christian women. And what a blessing that had to have been to be able to work with, even though you're in a really secular environment, to be able to have Christian women that you work with, that had to have been a really cool deal.
It was, Belinda, and there were so many times when we first started because, thank the Lord, we didn't have to do, and there's nothing wrong with this, just for four women it was difficult, to do the club scene. When we first started,
mm-hmm.
we did it about 6 months, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then we had our first single that was released, and that put us in a whole different genre. It was wonderful. But those first
mm-hmm.
6 months, we were just going, Lord, what are we doing? I mean, what are we doing out here on the road, you know, with these four hairy leg men, you know, that are band members, and here we are singing at these clubs, and just it was just so many times just we'd go back to our hotel rooms and just bawl and say, Lord, what are we doing? But we knew
oh.
we were on, we had a record contract waiting for our single to be released, and God would just, every time he would confirm, either the club owner or the manager or whatever would come to us when we went to pick up our checks at the end of the week and say, you all are so different. You are, you know, y'all have been a pleasure to have here. You didn't tear up our band house if we were staying in the band house. You didn't party here after y'all got off work. You know, he said, we have, you know, and they were so complimentary. So every time that confirmed that, you know what, we're where we're supposed to be. And then Belinda, our first single, Love Will Get You Through Times With No Money, Better Than Money Will Get You Through Times With No Love, it went to number 14 on the Billboard country charts. And it was also requested to be played on the Christian charts. So that was another thing that just gave us another confirmation. Okay, God, we're doing what you want us to do. Even, you know, even though we're in the secular market, you're using us. Because back in the 80s, that didn't happen too often. So we were just, again. And then as we went on our careers, he showed us different things. But he also showed us when it was time to quit. And it was tough because we loved it so much, but we knew it was the time to say, you know what, we're ready to move on to another chapter in our lives. And that's how we did, you know.
I think we should listen to that song, and then as soon as we get through listening to that, we're going to talk to Mike a little bit. So let's listen to Love Will Get You Through Times with No Money.
We started out with a shirt on our back, a $10 bill, and no Pontiac. A single room on the second floor, the wolf howling at our door. But we didn't know we were poor.
Love will get you through times with no money. Better than money will get you through times with no love. Love will get you through times of no money. Better than money will get you through times of no love.
Both of us working as hard as we could to make ends meet. They never would. Saturday morning you pawned your guitar, $30 in your hand. You bought my wedding.
That's a great song. So, Mike, oh, my gosh, what a treasure your little bride is. Wow. Good for you, buddy.
God is good, Belinda. God is good, you know.
Oh, man. So, now, Mike, you were born. Let's find out a little bit about you. You were born in Texas.
Yes, ma'am.
That's where you were raised, and you were a rodeo cowboy.
I did make a run at rodeo back in my younger days. I did. Started out in I guess before high school days, just in rodeo, junior rodeos, and I roped calves and rode bareback horses and bulls. And
and
I grew up in a real small town there. And, you know, Texas is a great big place with a lot of little bitty towns. You know, I was in one of them. Wasn't that many rodeo cowboys. So as I began to travel further, I couldn't afford to pull a roping horse and a trailer. So I dropped that event and concentrated on rough stock, because you could hitchhike and throw your bag in a truck with some more guys. And Well, I had dreams of being a national finalist rodeo cowboy. Didn't quite make it, but it formed some things in my life. You know, God works. He's working on us all the time. We just don't know it until we get to the place where we're supposed to be. But rodeoing exposed me to a whole lot of things, good and bad, and gave me this passion in this place where the Lord has us today, which mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for. It's exciting, you know, just to get to go back. In fact, we go to the PRC rodeo, get to pray, do open the prayers up there, and I get to go behind the bucking chutes, and I see these young men in back there behind the bucking chutes, and I knew some of their dads, you know, which is cool. And mm-hmm. and we're back there behind the bucking chutes now. We it's a different day, and now these young folks are praying to the Lord, and they're Christian cowboys living the cowboy life, and that's what we want to tell people. You know, I grew up, you had to have a snuff can in your back pocket, a beer bottle in your hand, and if you didn't get thrown in jail once a week, you was a sissy, you know.
You were supposed to fight. Oh, my gosh.
And today it's, you know,
wow.
It's changing, and it's just awesome because that's one of the biggest culture. Our people, our kind of people is big numbers, a lot of opportunities to reach people with the truth. And, hey, by the way, you two ladies, y'all preached this a while ago, okay? I heard all that. And I'm like, wow. And I got to follow this? Come on now. But, so rodeoing was a big part of my life, and I did enjoy it. And grew up, I can remember Belinda as just a little old-headed boy. Looking out the door, and I'd see some of these old cowboys riding down the road. There wasn't a lot of trailers, you know, stock trailers in those days.
Mm-hmm.
They would ride down this old country road and go check cattle, go pin cattle, and I could hear them coming from 2 miles off at clippity clock, going down them old blacktop roads, and just stood there waiting to see them pass, you know.
Yeah.
Passion for it, and got to live it. Got to live a lot of day work, and worked on ranches out in West Texas. And again, that was all part of preparing me for something a whole lot bigger than what I had dreams of doing. You know, serving the Lord, there's nothing greater.
No, there isn't. Now, you were raised in a Christian home, but then it sounds like through the rodeo, and you kind of drifted off a little bit.
I was a little toot. I did. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that... so much my parents did raise me in a church, and I pray for all churches. You know, we talk about traditional churches and this kind of church, that kind of church. You know, when a church, you know, Paul said, are they teaching and preaching God? You leave them alone, you know, pray for them, because we're all,
yeah.
we are all shooting for the same prize, the
we
same
are.
Place. And,
of course.
But I was raised in a Christian country home, and because a church, and when my life began, the world began to draw me to that way. I didn't know what bright lights and all that stuff was, and it just
mm-hmm.
really, it got me, like it does a lot of people. And I failed several times, so I almost got kicked out of church, but it did. I left church. I just like, you know, I can't be this good, and I'm kind of going back to what y'all were talking about, Satan had me, and he kept telling me I wasn't good enough. I was through. So I was going to, if this was all I was going to get, because I never doubted God's existence and
mm-hmm.
the truth. But it was like, well, if this is what I'm going to get on, this is all I'm going to get, then I'm going to get all I can get.
Oh, and, wow. Mm-hmm.
And that really, I really spun off into a deep, dark place, you know.
But, right. Wow.
But the Lord would not leave me alone. He just wouldn't leave
he
me
doesn't.
Alone. You know, I'd get,
he doesn't.
I'd get mad. You know, I'd be like, leave me alone.
No
way. I'm not worthy anyway. What are you wasting your time on me for?
Right. Oh,
but,
my gosh. Wow.
But how awesome is our God. So,
how awesome he is. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. So it just kind of went from there.
About you, I read in your bio that you actually were with a country band. So that was like on the heels of the rodeoing or during the rodeoing? How did that come about into your life, and what did that do for you?
Well, that was really another thing God did, and I didn't really grow up playing music. My mother's family were so talented, and we would sit around at family reunions, and they'd play anything, strings, horns, they just played everything. So I picked up a guitar and plunked around on it. And my goal was not to be a band guy, you know. But and I shod horses for 20-something years, and I was shoeing horses for a man one day. When we got through, we went into his shop to have a Coke, drink some cold drink, you know. And he had this bandstand set up. In my hometown, I didn't even know about it, but long story, he said he needed a rhythm guitar player, so I played that for about 2 weeks, and then the bass player didn't show up. I'd never had a bass in my hands, and he said, here, you can do it, and I did it, and I did that for about 6 months, and a guy calls me and says, we need a bass player in this band that I was aware of. I'm like, no, I don't do that. I can't do it. He said, we need you, so I went and played with those guys. And the next week, they called me, and I played with those guys. I wound up 15 years playing for those guys while they was waiting for
wow.
a bass player to come.
Wow.
And it was really a good time for me, Belinda, because like Doris was blessed to have those Christian ladies. We had some good guys in our band. We didn't have drug problems and had some alcohol mm-hmm. problems, issues with some of the guys. At that, I had got away from that. Thank the Lord, but we had a good positive bunch of guys, and we were band of the year in Texas for 2001, I believe. I can't remember. We had album of the year in the Texas Independent Artists that year. We had some great guys.
We did, and
things changed. I had to back out for. I had to raise one of my babies, and that was a good day. You know, it was a good time in my life. And as time rocked along, the lead singer for our band called me. This was about 7 years past. I put my guitars, my basses under the bed and just forgot about them. And he called one day and said, we're going to start a cowboy church. And they wanted him to do the music. And he said, I need a bass player. And I went to play bass You know, I thought,
had you already come back into alignment with the Lord at that point? Or what point did you say, okay, this is enough, and I need to get back in line with the Lord. I need to find him again.
I knew we're hurting, we're suffering, you know, living a hard life. And it changed me. It changed me so that's what I wanted to do. My passion just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. I wanted to go tell these people. I want to go tell people, look, you know, I don't care where you've been. I'm really concerned about where you're going. That's what we want to talk about, where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. It's really been awesome. And I look back, I see how God works in our lives when, again, we're not aware, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the things we do or are involved in can be turned out to be good, put to good use.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a waste.
That's
I used
right.
to beat myself up. You know, say, I wasted my life. No, I was getting prepared for my life.
Right. He was growing empathy. He was growing empathy in you. You can empathize with these people, and you've been there, done that. So you can relate to them on a level in a way that other people may not be able to. So that's awesome.
Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we're so glad. We're so glad that that's what happened.
And that's it. He's awesome. You know, when I grew up with horses, Belinda, and one of the songs on our album, The Horses in Heaven, a good friend of ours wrote that, Dan Roberts.
Yeah,
when I heard it, I just fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
Well, we're fixing to listen to that one. Good segue,
yeah.
Buddy.
That is cool, but I had a horse that I raised, and we cowboyed. We rodeoed barrel racers, rode him, rodeo queen contestants rode him. I picked up at rodeos on him, and he died when he was 34, and it was just awful.
Wow. You know,
so I heard this song. I was like, wow, that is so cool.
It's very cool. Well, I think we should listen to it right now by our good friend Dan Roberts. Will There Be Horses in Heaven? Your version.
I had to bury my best horse last evening. It was the saddest thing I've ever done. We rode a lot of hard miles together. He was a big-hearted son of a gun. In the wake of his final few moments, his eyes seemed to say, "We'll meet again." And then in there, I was faced with a question I've been wondering since I don't know when. Will there be horses in heaven? A place where all good horses go? Will the studs and the mares be running in pairs up there when he gathers his foes? Dear Lord, I'm sure needing to know. In my sorrow, I turned to the Bible, like my mom and dad taught me to do. And I read in the great revelations about the one who's called faithful and true. It is written that he and his armies on white horses will come back at last. And my heart sang for joy with the answer to a question all cowboys have asked. Will there be horses in heaven? A place where all good ponies go? Will the studs and the mares be running in pairs up there when he gathers his foes? Dear Lord, thanks for letting me know. Dear Lord, thanks for letting me know.
Oh, what a great song and what a great assurance. I just had to put down a horse in December, and I'm looking forward to seeing her again. I tell you, it's a piece of your family goes when you have to put down a horse or you lose one of them. I tell you, Dan did a beautiful job on it.
Did he not? And, you know, that's in Revelation 19, verse 11, if you will. See where that came from.
I'm going to go look it up and put it up on my wall.
There you go.
I am. Okay, so now I'm curious. Y'all came together in Oklahoma. That's where you met?
That's where we met. Bring a Tennessean and a Texan together. That you don't know what's going to happen. But we had
tell us a little bit about whoever wants to, whichever one of you wants to take the lead on this. So why don't you tell us about how y'all got together?
Okay. Well, we just had our fifth anniversary this past October, but we met actually almost 7 years ago. Well, a little over 7 years ago, and when we started in Oklahoma after I moved to Oklahoma, and we were trying our. There was a group of us here that wanted to start a cowboy church, and we didn't know how to do that. We just knew that was something we felt needed to take place. And so I was supposed to be helping with the music, and we were trying to get things started, but I was it. You know, it was like, oh, my goodness. So I had to be gone 1 week when we were meeting on a Tuesday night, and Mike and a group that he played with at that time came over and did the music. Well, the next couple of weeks, I called and said, why don't you come and ask him to come and play for us? You know, help me with that. Well, it would end up, it was so hard, Belinda, because it was just, we had a lot of things to overcome in this area because a lot of obstacles, you know, why we need a cowboy church? You know, what's a cowboy church? So we had a lot of battles that we had to overcome. And so we had trouble getting people to speak for us. You know, it just was tough. Well, Mike was coming to play, and he said, you know what? I mean, and I hope I'm not telling his story, but that's how that came about. And then we just became very, very good friends, because of this ministry. And we were fighting a relationship, you know, I mean, what I mean with each other, it's like, no, God, no, we don't need to do this, we'll just be friends, and but you know what, God kept saying, yeah, we're going to put you together, and he did, but once in a while, and I know you people have said this, and never say never, I always thought growing up, I could never be a pastor's wife, I could never, first of all, I couldn't share my husband that way, and I couldn't probably keep my mouth shut long enough, you know. Because you have to be different, you know. So I've really, it has been such a challenge. I'm going, Lord, no, you're not serious. Are you really serious? I mean, we're going to be in the ministry, and he's going to be a preacher, and we're going to do all this stuff together. But it has been unbelievable. It's just, you know, and he confirms it gets hard. It gets very, very hard because we're older starting this as far as the church and that type of ministry. So it's been a challenge, but you know what? It'll turn right around, Mike and I. So many times it becomes even emotional because we'll be so frustrated with things and just saying, are we sure we're doing what God wants us to do? And then something will happen, and you go, okay, there you go, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, so right. We know we're where he wants us to be. It's just a constant confirmation that we have to just stay in touch and say, okay, Lord, where do you want us to go next? Keep us on your path and let us know, you know, what you want us to do. So that's how we met and how God brought us together. And it has been awesome. I mean, it's just been wonderful. It really has.
Well, that is such a blessing. And so now, Mike, you were playing music, and so that's what you were doing. And when, at what point did you realize you were going to step up and actually pastor and minister and preach?
Well, like Doris was saying, I came over here with a gospel band and helped them. Their bass player was not there. So that's how I got started here, and told some of the guys that night we were here that they were talking about their music program, and we were so blessed over there at my old church. So we got three or four bands, we can come bring music, and so we started doing that. And as Doris was saying, they were having troubles getting someone to come speak. You know, nobody wants to go speak to five people. That's not any glory in that, you know. I mean, you gotta have thousands, you know. Came over. And it started working. Something had been going on in me anyway. And, Doris and I were going through some difficult times at the same time. We just didn't know it. But I was at my pasture one night down in Texas on my horse. And I was not happy with some things in my life. And I was basically lost, you know. And I think that's a hard thing for old cowboy men to admit that I'm 50 years old and I'm lost. You know, I don't know what's going on here. So and the longer I stayed out in that pasture, the smaller I got and the bigger he got. And I said, Lord, do something with me. Get me out of here. Do something. Change. I need something. And I wind up in Oklahoma. So be specific, you know, when you pray. where you wind up in Oklahoma. but as I continued coming to over here and helping these people, I just the passion just really got to ramping up in me, and I'd go home to my home church and tell the elders there and the fact, man, y'all need to pray for me. I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. I came one Tuesday night, and these folks, they were 7 or 8, 10 people gathered around, and they're so excited. There's, you know, this new church, they're just, and the preacher didn't show up, and they were like, pull the plug out of them, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't know what over this, the Lord came just all over me, and I opened my mouth and said, I can read scriptures. I can. We can have a church service here tonight. And I was walking to my truck to get my Bible, and I was like, what was I thinking? And it started right there, Belinda, and there's so many things. We could talk for days, but the greatest thing that I've seen in the last eight years, is that it's not about our qualifications or you know, ability. It's about availability. And when we say, Lord, here I am, you know, grab hold and let him go. You know, let's see what happens.
I love that.
The world beats us up because the world's right now. The authority is, we know who has that authority, power anyway,
right.
Not the authority, but so it beats us up. And we're in the poorest county in the state of Oklahoma, and we've been blessed from strangers out of the state of Oklahoma. We have 33 acres on the highway. We have a brand new building, and we have an arena. Zero debt. It's all been given to us. The Lord's blessed us with all those things.
Wow.
And people say, how do y'all do that? It's like, just get out of his way and watch him go. You know, get out of his way.
Wow.
And
I love
so,
that.
I love
what you said. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. I love that. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, I tell people, God took dirt and spit and created us, and we look at dirt as something below us, but he'll take us. I don't care. He'll take us, and you know, the least will be the greatest, and the last will be first. He will take us and rise us up when we just give it to him, and great things happen. Great things happen. So it was time, and I was at a place in my life where I was desperate for some clarity, for some direction in my life. I'm like, you know, there's got to be more to it than this. And with the Cowboy Church seeing the model of a Cowboy Church, a sure enough Cowboy Church, and there's spinoffs everywhere. But to see that and to see the reception, how people receive it, I brought some of my buddies came to church that had never been to church, and they came and we've got people from the church I came from. I know 8 men that was called into the ministry and accepted it. We've been blessed to be a part of starting 40 churches in Oklahoma. And qualified? No, ma'am, I'm not. But available? Yes, I am. You know, it's been a great deal. I love it.
I love it. Well, we're going to go to a song because we're starting to wind down on our time. That I really wanted to get to this song. It's a Michael Martin Murphy song that you all recorded, and he sat in actually on this recording, I understand, and is part of this recording as well. And that's a really cool deal. But it is a wonderful song, and I love the message of it. And so we're going to listen to Kilpin.
I can see you've been raising babies in a pasture somewhere. They took away your baby, left you all alone, and then they stripped you of your pride, brought you here.
Had you all on the show, and I can excited about having you back on, and hopefully sooner than later, and we can hear a lot more about your ministry and where it's going and what your plans are, and just have so enjoyed talking with both of you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
And if you want to hear more about or learn more about Mike and Doris and their ministry, you can find a lot of information on www.merittcowboyministries.com, and you can get a hold of that this album with all this wonderful music on it, and then find out more about their ministry. And who knows, the Lord may move you to make a good donation to their ministry. Who knows? I'm sure that would be a blessing to them. And just so thrilled to have you all both on. Thank you so much for being a part of the
Thank
show
you,
today.
Belinda. Thank you. We thoroughly enjoyed it.
Is there anything you would like to say in closing?
Well, we do thank you and look forward to getting to meet you.
It's going to be fun. We're going to try to work that out in April. I'm going to be in your neck of the
That's
woods.
That's right.
And we're going to have to make that happen. I'm eager to meet you all. And thank you so much again for being on. It's going to be fun, isn't it?
It
we're
is. We're looking forward to
talking.
It.
I know that.
Yes. Oh, I know. I thought about that a while ago. I said, it was going to be bad. We're going to be... Our voices will be worn out.
It'll be gone. We'll have some recuperation time before we have to sing again. That'll be for sure.
There you go. Oh, well, thank you
it.
So
well,
much for having us. Thank you.
Yes,
you are welcome.
We'll be
and
for your show.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I will put your ministry on my prayer list as well, and because it sounds like y'all are doing wonderful things. And we're going to close out the segment with the merits with a wonderful, fun song, Till the Answer Comes.
Till the answer comes, you got to keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes.
If you knock one time and there's no answer, well, don't turn away from the door. You gotta knock again until you've been let in. Sometimes it only takes once more.
Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying, keep praying, keep praying.
Sometimes you might be on your knees for hours, but the light finally comes breaking through the dark. But if you truly believe, then its power can breathe life into you in a troubled heart.
Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Till the answer comes, you gotta keep praying, keep praying. Till the
y'all, but I had a wonderful time with the Merritts, and I can hardly wait to meet them in person. And like we said, I think probably we're going to stay up all night talking. I don't think we're going to get much sleep when I'm there visiting. It's going to be so much fun. And as I was getting the show together and just reading scripture and asking the Lord to lead me to what scriptures he wanted me to share, just looking at their lives and their testimonies, and I just, the Lord led me to Psalms 139. And it just says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." And that just spoke to my heart of how intimately the Lord knows us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter how far away from him that we think we are. He is always mindful of us. He's attentive, and he's right there, just a prayer away to just take our hand and to lead us right back to him. And he just admonishes us in Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." None of this makes sense to our mind. But if we lean not on our own understanding, but on him and trusting in him in all of our ways and submit to him, he will make our path straight. and bring us back to that path with Him. And I think both of the Merritt's lives just spoke to that so beautifully today. And I hope if you are in a place where you're difficult and you're feeling separated from God and you're feeling not good enough or guilty or any of those things that we talked about today, I hope if nothing else that you've taken from this show, that the Lord is just waiting there with His hand outstretched. All you have to do is reach up and take His hand. Thank you so much for being with us today. We'll be back next week with a new show. But in the meantime, remember, all of our past shows, you can go on and listen to all of them. So you can listen to this as many times as you need to get what you need out of it. So God bless you, and we'll see you here right next week.
Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, pray. Grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, Thou art with me.